Thank you, worship team, for leading us to the throne once again. What a blessing we have to sit under your instruction. And I consider the worship service just as vital to our ministry as sharing the word as well. We're continuing our series in the book of John, and I've come to John chapter 4:46, which we'll get to here in a minute. And I've titled my message, The Journey to Belief. Talking about the royal official who came beseeching God, beseeching Jesus for him to heal his son. The news from the wedding had spread across the land. Can you only imagine those servants that day as they went home, the stories that they were able to tell? And I'm sure if they were anything like us today, they would have been sharing much about what they had seen and what they had witnessed. We didn't see that they came to know the Lord at that time, but they would have had news to share as they went home. And that news would have spread faster than a Mennonite FOSPA event. And so it spread across the land. But they also had heard what had gone on in Jerusalem. And so as we come to the fourth chapter and Jesus is coming back to the city, the town of Cana, then they were also witnessing the stories that were coming out of Jerusalem as well. And so we read in John chapter 2, verses 23, "Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing." And so his ministry, what had he been involved in as he went to the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, it said that many had come to belief in him. But on his way back to Galilee, he passes through Samaria, and he comes to the town of Sychar. And we know that the story from the Samaria there, that many came to believe in him. And then he spent 2 days with them. And then the account from John is that many more believed because of his word. And so I want you to see the contrast between those from Jerusalem and those from the town of Samaria. Those who were outcasts by the Jewish people. Those who were disgraced, and they believed, saw them as disgraced individuals. But yet they came in belief, and as God spent time with them. So on his arrival to Galilee, again he makes a statement that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And so he makes this statement that his country, this village of Nazareth, which in the account that we have in Scripture, we see that he only went to once because they rejected the message. But now here's the second opportunity that those from Cana have to hear. And so he says as he comes into the city early or in this passage that a prophet is without honor in his own country. But yet then the next verse we see that they received him. And having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem, they had received him. So what is the story with them? Here he says that he was without honor in his own country. And so then when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. And so they were looking for opportunity that they might be able to experience all that Jerusalem had experienced. But then we follow along in that passage in John chapter 2, 24 to 25, where Jesus says, "But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." They came in belief, this says the count there. But they were entrusting themselves to witnessing all that God might do on their behalf. They were marketplace believers, if we want to use that term. They were looking for what they could get out of Jesus. They were looking for how Jesus could benefit them and how their lives can improve because of him, whatever that may be. And that was the extent of their belief. The believers in Jerusalem believed solely because of the signs which he was doing. And Jesus saw their hearts, and for this reason he did not entrust himself to them, for they were not true believers. And how often we come into the Christian fold that way as well. Because we hear that all that God can do, God can heal and God can meet this need. God can do this for you. And what we do is that we have a belief because of what God can do on our behalf. And so here we see the story of God taking somebody who was there and seeking to lead them deeper into a true belief. And so we see the journey to belief take place in this royal official's life. The Samaritans believed because of his word. Their belief was on him, as their belief was a matter of the heart and not just the head. The people of Cana, when they received him, were looking forward to experiencing what the people of Jerusalem had experienced as well. And so that's their excitement. That's the reason why they wanted to receive him. Yet Jesus still performed a miracle in this town, which John calls the second sign. So if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 4, let's begin reading at verse 46 and continue through to verse 54. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 46. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. This royal official, the story about a royal official who came up from Capernaum. And after he heard that Jesus was back in the region. And so the news would have gotten to the royal court that Jesus was on his way heading north. And maybe already the news had gotten to him even as he left Jerusalem and the 2 days that he spent with the Samaritans. The city of Capernaum was only about 20 miles away on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. As a royal official, he would have been a member of Herod's court. And they may have even been related to Herod. We're not sure how much the relationship was there. The city of Capernaum was a border city which was much lower in elevation than Cana, indicated by him having to go down after leaving Jesus. This royal official comes himself, even though he had slaves that he could have sent ahead, even though he had some individuals that he could have sent to represent him, he wanted to come himself. He wanted to represent and intercede for his son. The reports of Jesus' miracles had come to the royal court, and he comes to Jesus in desperation. He was imploring Jesus to come and heal his son. The construction of the word indicates that he asked repeatedly. So we're not sure how long this royal official had waited, how long he had waited as his son got slowly sicker and sicker. But now his son was on the borderline of soon facing death unless something was done. His money would not help him here. He had nowhere else to turn except to Jesus. God allowed a crisis in his life to bring him to Jesus. Does God allow crises into our life that he might draw us in faith and belief to him as well? Or do we just all of a sudden just respond in anger, "God, how could you allow this in my life?" Here in this instance, I believe that God allowed this crisis in his life that he might come to Jesus, that Jesus might be able to respond to this need, and then this individual might come to faith and repentance. As we face crises in our life, one result that can be is that God brings us into a deeper belief in him, a deeper opportunity to get to know who our Savior is. And here God allowed this in his life. We see grace in action that is taking place, and that God had allowed this to take place that he might be able to demonstrate his grace. And I believe God wants to demonstrate his grace for us as well in whatever situation we are walking through. Will we allow ourselves to experience all that God wants to teach us through the crisis that we are facing or walking through? God, would you demonstrate your grace in and through this situation? May you open my eyes that I might see you and might grow in my knowledge of who you are. The journey to faith of this official is laid out for us by John. He came as someone believing in the signs that Jesus did, like the others of Cana. But he arrived back at his house, a true believer, but also the whole household came to faith. As we get to experience crisis in our life, as we get to see and experience the grace of God, that grace of God goes far beyond just you. It goes into those who are watching in on your situation. And maybe God has you demonstrating his grace to a larger audience. This gentleman came with two erroneous assumptions about Jesus. The first erroneous assumption he had is that he assumed that Jesus had to be physically present to heal his son. And thus the reason he was seeking Jesus to come immediately to his house. Come to my house, because he had that erroneous belief that Jesus had to be present to be able to heal. And so Jesus had to teach him some truths on that. And then secondly, he hoped that Jesus had the power to heal his son, his illness. But he had no hope that Jesus could raise him from the dead. And so thus, Jesus, come immediately, come quickly. This is a big need that I have. Because he believed that Jesus did not have the power to heal somebody from the dead. As we see later in Scripture, as he healed Lazarus from the dead. These two assumptions were behind his insistence that Jesus come at once before it was too late. To this imploring, Jesus responds with, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." What a response to somebody who's asking for him to come. But I believe that Jesus was looking at the heart, and he looked at the heart of this official and saw that his belief at that present time was only in what Jesus could do for him and not in him. He addresses this to the royal official, but he opens it up to everyone listening in. Jesus desired a belief by dedication rather than amazement. And so he was speaking to the larger audience as well. Yes, that's all you're seeking of me. You're seeking what I can do for you. And I want to bring you to that place where you understand who I am and your need of me in your life, that you might come to true repentance. And so the official came with a simple belief resting in the miraculous. The Lord was seeking to build on this belief with the truth that his word was as effectual as his presence. And to lead him into deep meaning of the Old Testament utterance, he sent his word and healed them. Thus, our Lord's conduct was designed not to extinguish it, that little spark of faith, but to blow it into a fierce flame, and the method adopted had the desired results. What's the method that God's using in your life as you seek to walk with him, as he seeks to lead you into a deeper faith experience with him, a deeper trust relationship with him? How's God doing that in your life? Is God about that in your life? I believe that's what his desire for all of us, that we might grow in our belief in him. How precious then is faith in the estimation of the Lord, and what pains he takes to produce, purify, and strengthen it. His great longing is to lead us deeper into the life of faith. Three stages may be discerned in faith, for faith is a progressive act or a series of acts. The disciples in chapter 2, we see that they believed in him after the witnessing the turning the water into wine. We know that this was not their first instance of belief, but it was another opportunity God led them to whereby he might strengthen their faith, might strengthen their belief in him. And God desires to do the same in our lives as well, that he might be able to move us from where we're at today, then that we might next year, next week, whenever, he might take us to a new place of understanding what our needs, what we need to behold in our belief in him. The first stage is a belief in him, a mere acceptance of his revelation. But there is no saving element in it. It is possible for a person to have this kind of faith and yet be lost. True faith is something more than this. They were looking for what they could get out of Jesus. And maybe many of us are resting that place in our own lives as well. It is imperative that the next stage be reached, a belief on him. This is where the saving element comes in. If I am weary and tired and believe that the chair can bear my weight, merely believing that will not rest me. I must believe on it and let it take my weight. We must place ourselves into him and on him in belief. And then the third stage, believing into the Lord. I may believe on a chair or staff and be rested, but the chair and staff and I remain separated and distant. Believing in him will lead to believing into him, becoming one with him. The royal official does not respond to Jesus' gentle rebuke, but again makes the request for Jesus to come before he passes away. And so Jesus' object here was that he might lead this gentleman into true saving faith. Jesus gives a command to him to go, your son lives. Jesus issues a mere word, and 20 miles away, a boy is brought back to health. This is the same God who issued a word and brought the world into being. And so he was seeking to display his glory once again to the people. Do you understand who I am? I am the God who speaks, and this happens. Healing takes place. I am the God who spoke, and the world came into being. That is who I am. And that the people might come to that place where we understand, and they would understand who he was. It was also immediate. At the issuing of the word for the official to go, the boy was healed, and he went back to his home. He was met by the slaves with the news of the hour. The boy was healed. This news brought him to the place of belief, but also his whole household. He moved from a belief in Jesus to perform a sign to placing his faith on Jesus. And so God brings us to that place in our own lives as well, that we understand and put our trust in and on him. Jesus again displayed his glory, and that his ability to heal is in no way hindered by distance or whether he is physically present. On this occasion, the healing was instantaneous. We are not told why the boy became sick to the point of death when he would have had the best medicine available at his hands. But we see the results from that sickness being that this official came to faith along with his whole household. What a demonstration of the grace of God for somebody who would have been seen as despised in that day and age. God cared about that individual and his whole household. Because when this official came before Jesus, there would have been a great competition for his time. I'm sure there would have been many who were clamoring for Jesus to do this or that or whatever for him. But Jesus took the time to meet this individual where he was at. The faith he was walking in was reproved by Jesus, but Jesus met him where he was at, and he moved him further along the road to the junction of saving faith. Wherever you are on the road of faith, Jesus would love to move you along the road to the place of faith on him as well. But if you're a child of God here this morning, God wants to move you along that road of faith as well in your own life, where you might rest more fully in him, that you might engage with him in this life that we have with him. The official was able to meet with Jesus face to face, and a great opportunity and a demonstration of the grace of God in meeting this individual. Jesus' word to you is come as well. He is not too busy to meet you where you're at, and we see that demonstrated for us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. All you who are weary, come unto me. And so Jesus' word for us and for all is that you might come, and that you might come before him. The heart of this official was an open book to Jesus, but he listened to this man and he healed his son. Too often we base our decisions on the worthiness of the individual. Isn't that often how we demonstrate our availability? Well, if this guy is worthy. But here is a person who might have been lower on the scale of worthiness, but yet God, Jesus, took the time to meet with him, to hear from him, and then to respond to his heart. His heart was an open book before the Lord. The Lord knew exactly who he is, knew exactly where his faith was at. And so your coming to him may be the beginning of many others coming to him as well. Your journey to belief will be a testimony of others in your life as you respond to the gospel, as you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not only demonstrating or leading you to a deeper belief in him, but you have opportunity to be a blessing into those who are looking in and witnessing your life and your Christian walk with him. Whether that be your family or whether that be your friends, that you might be able to demonstrate the grace of God as God interacts with you where you are at. At a word, this boy was healed at a distance, and it was instantaneous by way of an intercessor. The joy of being intercessors is knowing that our God is well able to answer from a distance. And so as you pray for different individuals, and maybe you have people on your prayer list, and it was just interesting this morning, as I came to church, all of a sudden somebody that's on my prayer list reached out to me by text. And we're texting back and forth together, and I'm starting to see how God is moving in his life. I've been praying for him for over a year, that somehow God would intervene in his life. And it was just great this morning to be able to interact with him. You've got people in your lives that you're interceding for. Don't give up. God is well able. Sometimes it's not quick. Sometimes it's a long time. And I've been praying for this individual for over a year. And he's not quite there yet, but I'll continue to pray for him. The life of being an intercessor in our lives as God lays people upon our hearts, as God lays different individuals in our lives. We have the opportunity to be intercessors for him because we know that we have a God who is able to move from a distance. He's able to respond. Even though he is in heaven today, we can rest assured that he is the God who can heal and desires to heal. We have an audience with him. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. The word God has for us this morning, come. Would you be willing to come this morning? Lay the concerns of our heart before him. God, would you intercede for this individual? Or whether it's a personal need as well. As we talk face to face, we have the joy to present the concerns of our heart and our intercessions on behalf of others. And our God is still answering the prayers of his children today. He answered this royal official's prayer. And God is still answering prayers today. We don't know all that God is doing in the life of that individual. We don't understand the timing that God has as well. We just rest assured that we are to be faithful as intercessors for him. As the glory of the Lord was on display in Cana the second time, his glory is still on display today. May it lead us on our journey to belief. And so God sought to demonstrate his glory that the people might see his glory. And as God displays his glory in our lives, may our hearts turn to him and praise and wonder in him. And may we grow deeper in our belief on him as well. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Father, once again, thank you for your care and your grace in the life of individuals. Even somebody as insignificant as this official's son, you cared about and you brought healing. And Heavenly Father, may you continue to drive us deeper in your truth, that we might grow in our belief in you and our understanding of who you are and our wonder of who you are as you demonstrate your glory in our lives. So pray that you might continue the work that you've begun and that we might be faithful to respond. For praying in your name, amen. God bless.